How do I get from a stadium that was demolished in 2020 after hosting numerous cup finals and World Cup games to the stadium that hosted the 1954 World Cup finals?
Hello and welcome to Wikipedia Wanderers again, and carrying on our defunct trilogy. It's a trilogy.
Yeah, we're in a trilogy now. We've got a quick question then. Favourite trilogies?
Star Wars, originals.
Is it going to be considered a trilogy still, even though it's one of seven?
I think one of seven?
What's that, one of seven?
Well, it's the Skywalker nine, saga, ten. Nine. One of nine.
It's nine.
It's three of nine, right? It's three trilogies.
Yeah.
So that's... They're three different trilogies, and the original trilogies are probably my favourite trilogy. 1999, Treble. Is that a trilogy?
Oh, look at you go with a little football link there. Yeah?
Nice. Yes. Happy with that?
I like that. Yeah.
All right, straight back at you. Best trilogy?
Cornetto.
Explain.
So Shaun of the Dead, Hot Fuzz, World's End.
Got ya. Sorry, I honestly thought there was a version of the Cornetto ice cream I'd missed out on called a Trinity.
No, I suppose with our trilogy, have we got a name we can give it, which is for a defunct food stuff? Not the Cornetto trilogy is films, because they, you know, they want anything from a shop, Cornetto.
Yeah.
Is there a food stuff that is since been retired?
A defunct food stuff? Oh. Yeah. Normally they just change name, don't they? They don't...
Yeah, like Opal Fruits to Starburst.
Wham Bar.
Oh, I think you can still get them.
Oh, can you?
Yeah. That's some sugary delightfulness, that is.
Yeah, that was horrendous. Lucozade tablets that you put in drinks, remember them?
You put them in drinks? I hate them raw.
Oh, yeah, you could. Yeah, so my...
Okay, good.
I had a cousin who was diabetic. Is it diabetic or the other one?
Diabetic's a thing.
Couldn't control his insulin levels, so he had to either have more sugar.
Yeah.
And he...
Type 1 or type 2, yeah.
Yeah, he would just have to just eat one of them if he was...
Same diabetes hasn't got three types to make it a trilogy.
Right, let's crack on. Stadium.
In his stadium special, the defunct stadiums. Dave's chosen a defunct stadium. I have chosen a defunct stadium, which means it's not being used anymore. Maybe demolished, maybe just, you know, a white elephant. But... Who have you chosen?
I've gone for...
Have you chosen?
It's not who, it's a what. I've gone for a completely demolished.
Ooh.
It's no longer standing. Nothing there. Gone. Vanished. I mean, it took them ages to actually demolish it. I didn't realise that demolishing a stadium could take, like, over a year. I thought it was
just... Really? Just chuck some dynamite at it?
Yeah. That's what I honestly... I thought it would be like in The Simpsons, where they, you know, they blow up Monty Byrne Casino in, like, a minute. But yeah, anyway, I've gone for the Vicente Calderon Stadium. Remember
Atletico
it?
Atletico Madrid.
Atletico Madrid, yes. Atletico Madrid. What was it replaced with?
It's all Metropolitano?
Yeah, half. The Wanda Metropolitano. Yeah, Wanda Metropolitano.
Wanda? Okay.
But it was the home stadium of Atletico Madrid from 1966 until 2017, when they closed it for demolition. And the demolition was finished... Well, actually, they closed it in 2017. The demolition started in 2019, and it finished in 2020. So, not too sure why. But, they moved to the Wanda Metropolitano Stadium, and it was a pretty good stadium, the Vicente Calderon. It didn't look like it needed... In the sense that when you picture it, like when you look back at it, it doesn't look like it needed to be... completely demolished. I think they could
have you seen it. Those videos going around of people like maybe in the Bombonera, like Boca's stadium, maybe people like in the stands, he's like, that is an absolute disaster waiting to happen. It's like creaking. It's literally like split in two and two bits are all bouncing around. It's like, I know stadiums are meant to move. Like you see Spurs' new stadium does move because it's just a state of flex because you know that extra load on the building, but that one doesn't look like it was designed to do. It doesn't look like it was designed to crack halfway through. But yeah, this one, yeah, looks quite. I do quite like the stadiums where they have a flat edge.
Okay.
This isn't quite the same, is it? But they have that kind of that main edge where it's like it's not all the way around. It's because you don't really know it. Like when you're watching on TV at a stadium, you see three sides, really, don't you?
Yeah.
You don't know what you might be on nothing on that side. It's that, like, soft side, mystical.
Craven Cottage, where the camera angle is actually at the side that right behind you is the River Thames. So you never see it. You would never know if you didn't know that it was on the River Thames. But yeah. But a notable and rather spectacular feature, I mean, that's a bold, bold couple of words to use there. Spectacular feature. Was that it was close to the M30 dual carriageway, running from the South Node Toledo Bridge and passed below one of the main stands. So I don't think it's a spectacular feature that is next to a road and it runs under one of the main stands. Would you call that spectacular?
I don't know. If a motorway runs beneath where I'm sitting, I'm thinking that's pretty good.
Dual carriageway.
I think it's more more spectacular as a road user, I think.
Yeah. Mm. I agree.
I think maybe if there's the Wikipedia page of the, what was it, the M30, Wikipedia page of M30 going, one spectacular feature is it runs under. That's probably why it took so long to demolish, because there was a dual carriageway that had to keep intact.
Yeah, I didn't actually think about that. But some other interesting facts about it. The final match at the stadium, 28th of May 2017, and it was between, and you're going to love this, a past and present Atletico Madrid side versus a World 11.
Oh, yes, please.
So, on that, past and present Atletico Madrid players, let's go. I think five will be pretty easy. Do you reckon we can get 11? Do you reckon we can do a squad?
Yes.
Goalkeeper. I think that's the struggling point. Oh, Oblak.
Yes.
Yeah, Oblak in goal. Right back. I want to say Vashalko.
Kieran Trippier.
Yeah.
Newcastle signed him from.
Yeah, very true, very true.
Christian Zapata? Catalan centre back?
I mean, I'm going to go with Diego Godin.
Yes, that's probably a safe bet. But I'm going Zapata. I think it was a Zapata.
Okay, yeah, we'll go with Zapata. Left back?
Ooh.
Oh, this could be...
Current left back.
Haven't they got someone that's got like a... It's got a really weird long name. It's like Arrizabalaga, but it's not him.
Hermoso is sometimes deputised at left back. Fine. Left-footed centre back.
Take it. Centre mids. Herrera. Andre Herrera. Man United bought him from Atletico Madrid.
Wasn't he a Bilbao boy?
Oh, was he a Bilbao boy? Oh, he might
have been. I think he's a Basque Bilbao boy.
Oh, he might have been a Basque Bilbao. Okay, not him then.
Gabby.
Yeah. Gabby.
Okay.
I mean, up top, are we going Falcao and Forlan?
I was going to go Aguero.
Oh, Aguero and Forlan. We'll have Aguero and Forlan. Yeah. Or go with three up front, because it takes another place out. Yeah, so that's all right.
Yeah. So we just need one more midfielder. Well, who's, like, because I had a real long stint. Oh, I'm going to go four up front. We're going to put Christian Vieri on the left wing, because he's left-footed.
Yeah, Christian Vieri. All right. I like that.
That's it, isn't it?
4-2-4.
Yeah. Textbook.
Done. Lovely stuff. 1992, Michael Jackson held a sold-out concert as part of his Dangerous World Tour. 54,907 people turned up for it. The next bit...
Ooh.
Yeah, I mean, I don't... During his stay in Madrid, he visited numerous hospitals where sick children were kept who needed treatment and help for diseases and other conditions that were discovered during birth. Obviously, with the alleged things that Michael Jackson...
Don't think that's even... It doesn't even mention he paid for treatment. Just mentions he visited hospitals. I think that's just clickbait. I say... It's not even... How has that got away without being referenced?
Is that an action? Are we just taking it out?
I say at least find a reference for that, because I can't even see a reference. Come on. Taking a mic there.
Yeah. This is an interesting one as well. Well, I guess it depends how many tickets they sold. Because it said Michael Jackson in 1992 held a sold-out concert of 54,907. But Bruce Springsteen's played there 4 years before that and had a crowd of 62,000 people. So, did Jacko sell it out?
If you're a fan of Bruce Springsteen's music?
I mean, there's some. I've not listened to enough of it.
Quite shouty and raspy,
honest. There's some classics, right? And other than I don't... I don't really care.
Christmas one.
Yeah.
And Philadelphia?
Yeah. And Born in the USA?
That's the one.
That's Bruce, isn't it? So, and then we get to pretty much the end of the page, which was it's located on the banks of the Manzanares River. The closest metro station to the ground was Pirámides, located on Line 5, if you ever wanted to go
so
visit.
So much information.
I know.
Oh, that's what the listeners want to hear. We're going to be like, where? What's the nearest metro station to this? I'd love to see this.
And then...
a nice picture, though.
It is a nice... It's a really nice picture. And I think... referenced in the early stages, it hosted a numerous amounts of Copa del Rey finals: 1973, 74, 75, 77, 79, 81, 86, 89, 94, 05, 08, 12, 16 and 17. And it hosted three games at the 1982 FIFA World Cup. It hosted Austria v France, Austria v Northern Ireland and Northern Ireland v France.
Well, if we're doing top trumps, I think my stadium's going to win on that matter.
Well, where have we got to get to, Josh?
We're going to Wankdorf Stadium.
Now, I don't know anything about this stadium because your notes didn't sync up correctly before recording the podcast. So
you telling me you don't know who played at the stadium?
I'm going to say no. I don't know who played at Wankdorf.
Okay. It's Young Boys of Bern, Switzerland.
Fuck off. Young Boys played at Wankdorf.
It's true. It's true, but MJ didn't play a game here.
You can't write this stuff, folks. You cannot write this stuff.
So, Wankdorf Stadium, originally 22,000 capacity, and I said home of Young Boys of Bern, Switzerland, built in 1925, so a lot older, top trump, tick. And it held a number of important matches, including the 1954 World Cup, the 1961 European Cup final, where Benfica beat Barcelona 3-2. I mean, 1989 Cup Winners' Cup final, where Barcelona beat Sampdoria. So a couple of good matches there. It was demolished around 21 years ago, in 2001, and replaced by Stadion Wankdorf. Love the name. On the same location, and that finished construction in 2005. It's now actually called Stade de Suisse. So maybe people got on to the English word wank and thought, you know what, we're going to rebrand. And the stadium actually was one of the venues for Euro 2008. Construction originally took over 7 months, 22,000 capacity. How many people were seated in that stadium originally, do you reckon, Dave? Out of 22,000, how many were seats?
12,000.
10%, about 1,200, and a further 5,000 were provided under cover.
Wow.
First international match was hosted on the 8th of November in the same year it was constructed. Switzerland beat Austria 2-0. So the stadium was increased in capacity over time and reached 64,000 by the time the 54 World Cup came round. At that point, they had amassed 8,000 seats and just made everybody else stand. I like to think of it as like a party, like a dinner party. Yeah, we've got seats for 8 of you. Can you have a 56 stand, please? How special would you feel as a gate there? And that World Cup, it hosted 5 matches. Powers and significance to your 3. So we had a few group matches: Uruguay, Czechoslovakia, West Germany, Turkey, England versus Switzerland. Quarterfinals of Hungary beating Brazil 2-0, and the final is actually a clickable link: the miracle of Bern, the unexpected 3-2 victory of the West Germans, over Hungarians in the final, made the stadium an icon of football history. So, how can you not say you don't know this stadium? It's an icon of football history, Dave.
Did you know it before researching?
No, I never heard of it. I liked it because of the name Wankdorf. Yeah. Nice. And to keep the music link going, Muse performed at the Stade de Suisse, the new stadium, in 2010, and entitled a song they played there, The Wankdorf Jam.
Well, and that's my YouTube search in after this. Wankdorf Jam.
Yeah.
Find out what it sounds like, yeah.
Okay. Good luck. All right. So we have ways into this. We obviously have the 54 World Cup. We've got the European Cup in 61 and the Cup Winners' Cup in 89. And also Young Boys of Bern.
Yes. I'm content. I think this is doable. Easy.
I think this is very doable. You've got stadiums that are normally linked to clubs. Clubs are easy to find. Bish, bosh, bash. What routes out do we have of a Vicente Calderon stadium, though?
I mean, yeah. We've got a link to a whole season, the 2016-2017 La Liga season, which could be interesting to go and have
Copa del Rey finals, but we'd have to use Barcelona, though, if we were trying to get... Because Copa del Rey finals, and think of the Spanish clubs who've played there, we know that Barcelona played in both of the Cup finals, the 61 European Cup final and League Cup Winners' Cup final. But do we want to take out of Barcelona? Because bear in mind, people, if we use that link, we can no longer use that link for any other episode.
It's a tough one. We've actually got, that we could go and learn a little bit about, is the president of Atletico Madrid it was named after, Vicente Calderon.
Okay.
Keeps us involved in football, but a bit personal.
Part of me was going to go, who was Vicente Calderon? So yeah. I think that's the right way to go, Dave.
Okay. All right. That was easy enough. Oh, my God. It's such a small page.
Yeah. Turns out Wikipedia doesn't know much about him either.
And it turns out, Josh, if you look at that, the only link we can now go to is Atletico Madrid.
Or?
Nope. Can't go back to the stadium.
Oh, no. Yeah, we're going back to the stadium. Yeah.
I'll read this word for word, listeners. Vicente Calderon Perez Cavada was a businessman and president of Atletico Madrid for 20 years. As president of Atletico Madrid, he helped in getting their new stadium built, and in 1971, it was renamed Estadio Vicente Calderon in his honour. Done. Period. End.
Okay, so options, Dave. We've got, literally, every clickable link we've got in here is Atletico Madrid, the stadium where we would have been, so we can't have that. We've got some places in Spain. We've got Spain, Cantabria, Torrelavega, Valencian community, not football related, Gandia, another city, I presume, in Valencian community. So, guess we're going to Atletico. Just check it. I'm going to just quickly check. We haven't already been to Atletico Madrid as a
I've coach. Got a feeling we might have done.
If we have, I don't know. I think we would have to go through. Geographically, no, we're good. Atletico Madrid, here we come.
Okay, good.
We've already done the five players past and present.
We have, which is, you know, premonition.
Wow. Nicknames, didn't know either of them. Fantastic nicknames. One is, I'm not going to pronounce, well, I will. Colchoneros and Indios. We have mattress makers and Indians. What? Did you know about these?
No. And interested in both. Absolutely amazing. So you scroll down, see if you can find the history of that. I'll do a little bit of the intro. So, the club is co-owned in the Indian... Hang on. What? That's a weird way to start the sentence there. Oh, the club co-owned the Indian Super League franchise Kolkata, formerly named as Atletico del Kolkata. It won the competition twice, but in 2017 ended its partnership with the club as Sanjeev Goenka bought its shares. Atletico also co-owns La Liga MX club Atletico San Luis and the Canadian Premier League side Atletico Ottawa. So they've got a bit of a...
I didn't realise this.
No. Network of clubs.
So the names come from matchmakers due to their first team stripes being the same colours as traditional mattresses. I mean, I didn't realise there was a traditional... So the red and white vertical stripes, I didn't really realise that was a traditional mattress. Okay. Nope. During the 70s, they became as Los Indios, which some attribute to the club's signing of several South American players after restrictions on signing foreign players were lifted. However, there are a number of alternative theories which claim they were named so because their stadium was camped on the riverbank or because the Indians were a traditional enemy of Los Blancos, the Whites, which is a nickname of the city rivals, Real Madrid. Which one do you prefer out of that?
Mattress makers. It's one of those, I think it's so bad, it's amazing.
Completely, like, how does that relate to football? I love it.
Yeah.
Okay, formed in 1903, quite old then, yeah. By three Basque students living in Madrid. Basque seems to be a bit of a football hotspot then, doesn't it? If they're taking it out of the Basque region.
I mean, they've been pretty successful. League titles won, they're the third most successful club in Spanish football behind Madrid and Barcelona. Atletico have won La Liga 11 times. They did a League and Cup double in 1996. The Copa del Rey, they've won it on 10 occasions, two Supercopas of Spain. And they've re-come to prominence pretty recently in football.
Simeone, isn't it? Yeah. But they began playing in a blue and white half shirts, the then colours of Athletic Bilbao. But by 1911, both the Bilbao and Madrid teams were playing in their current colours of red and white stripes. Some believe the change came about because the red and white striped tops were the cheapest to make, as the same combination was used to making ticking for mattresses. And the unused cloth was easily converted into football shirts. This contributed to the nickname we know about. However, another explanation is that both Bilbao and Madrid used to buy Blackburn Rovers' blue and white kits in England. In late 1909, Juanito Eldure, a former player and member of the board of Athletic Madrid, went to England to buy kits for both teams, but failed to find Blackburn kits to purchase. Instead, he bought the red and white shirts of Southampton, the club from the port city, which was the embarkation point to Spain. Madrid adopted the red and white shirt, leaving them to be known as Los Rojiblancos, but opted to keep their existing blue shorts, whereas Bilbao switched to the new black shorts. Okay, interesting.
Yeah, I like that. And I'm going down here, and I've scrolled down, because there's loads on their history, and I feel like I don't know enough about it, so I want to read a bit more on that. And again, as ever, and we find in these podcasts and this research and this learning that we're doing, in 1963, they reached the European Cup Winners' Cup final, but lost to English side Tottenham Hotspur 5-1.
Suck it, Madrid.
So, yeah, I mean, I've scrolled down and that just, it was just a name that jumped out of me. Tottenham Hotspur, it's always there. But I was scrolling. What I was actually doing is getting to a sort of era that I knew, and I think that is the Aguirre era.
Looking there. We're seeing Maniche and Costinha.
Yeah.
Aguero, Luis Garcia, Simão Sabrosa, Jose Antonio Reyes. We're seeing David De Gea. How did you forget he was a Atletico Madrid
exactly
goalkeeper? And then that becomes their success period in 2009 onwards. Because I always linked, they were similar to me to Tottenham. They were kind of like near the top and then didn't really do much. So kind of, I've always flirted with success. But then it is Diego Simeone is the driving factor, isn't it?
I was just looking at that La Liga and European successes section. And on the right-hand side is a photo of David Villa, who I have no memory of playing for Atletico Madrid.
It was after the event, wasn't it? It was after Barcelona, I think.
I don't know.
I think Barcelona signed him from Real Zaragoza.
That's, yeah. Maybe, no. Sporting Gijón.
No. I think we have to go to David Villa. David Villa, I think, went Zaragoza, the Valencia, Barcelona, Atletico Madrid, America?
I think we're going David Villa, but it's not going to help us get to... Well, he might have scored against Young Boys.
We've got Barcelona in there.
And he's got Barcelona in there, yeah, true. Yeah. But there's lots of cups mentioned. So the Super Cup's mentioned, Champions League. Barcelona are mentioned on this page as well. So if you want to go directly to Barcelona. In October 2018, Atletico Madrid announced their first academy in Pakistan, which was based in Lahore. It was the first European football academy in Pakistan. In April of 2019, they launched a football school programme in Lahore as well. And Atletico Madrid... Well, hang on. In February 2020, Pakistan Football Federation announced the 2020-2021 Football Federation League, in which Atletico Madrid Lahore was included in Group C and was therefore made a professional Pakistani football club. It's made its debut and won 2-0. That's quite nice. Set up academy and getting a professional team in Pakistan.
So previous managers, Kike Sanchez Flores was one before that, but it was then Gregorio Manzano who secured a Europa League place for Atletico, but then he himself was replaced with Diego Simeone December 2011 after a poor run of form. So he's been there 11 years. It's very rare these days, such a long stint. Okay, so we obviously seem to have stumbled on going to David Villa more out of intrigue of our own knowledge gaps, but is that the best choice? Do we want to go somewhere else?
I was just looking to see if they had a European, people they've come up against. Was Young Boys Bern potentially mentioned? But I can't see them. I've done a quick search. I don't think they're here. So I'm happy to go to David Villa and learn a bit. Education, Josh.
David Villa, a little picture of him. Let's have a look. David Villa Sanchez. Right, straight to it. Let's see what happened with his... Oh my goodness, almost smashed it out of the park, didn't I?
You did, and he signed for Real Zaragoza from Sporting Gijón.
Yeah, so we got. We didn't need to be here, Dave. We should have trusted ourselves. So Sporting Gijón, B, then full team, then Real Zaragoza, then Valencia. We have then Barcelona, not for actually as long as you think. So Valencia was there for 166 league appearances, 108 goals. Barcelona, only really three seasons, 77 appearances, 33 goals. And Atletico Madrid for a season, 13 goals in 30 appearances. New York City FC for his second longest stint, 124 appearances, 80 goals. little loany loan to Melbourne City. Is this part of a City group, both
yeah.
these?
Yeah.
Yeah. 4 appearances, 2 goals, and then finished up with playing with Andres Iniesta or
I think so.
Michel Kobe, yeah. 28 appearances, 13 goals, amassing 333 league goals and 624 appearances, as well as 59 goals in 98 appearances for Spain. What a player this man was. I just adored him as a centre-forward. I thought it was fantastic.
And those goals made him Spain's all-time top goal scorer and the country's top scorer in the World Cup with 9 goals.
Nice. Okay, let's look. I mean, on the contents page, which had an early career, club career, each one he's got. Oh, technical committee membership and club ownership. What's going on here? On 13th November 2019, Villa announced that once he retired, he'll be investing as an owner of USL Championship side Queensborough FC, based in Queens, New York City. The club will begin to play in 2022. Has that happened, Dave? Our man in the US.
I don't recognise them as a name that's playing, but I'm not. I'm up to date with more of the MSL. MLS even. I'm so up to date, I got it wrong. The MLS rather than the USL. So.
Okay. Last year, he declared the Indian Super League side, Odisha FC, declared him as the head of global football operations, as well as a member of a technical committee, along with former coach Joseph Gornabu and Victor Anate, head of last season's campaign. Includes, just in case you weren't aware what the role involved, the role includes advising the coaching staff, improving the Indian and youth players, providing general support to the on-field activities, among others. Okay.
I've got thoughts on that.
Money for nothing. Money for nothing.
Yeah, I've got thoughts on that. That to me, that feels like that's Odisha FC going, hey, sponsors, we've got David Villa.
Can you be associated with our club?
Yeah.
And yeah, agree. He's basically an influencer for yeah. FC. Okay, so he's played in World Cups, obviously not the 1954 World Cup, which would be really helpful. Playing style. I would describe him as just not a big man up front, but running behind, very technically adept, sometimes play off the left as well, very good right foot, quick, nimble, not exceedingly quick on it. Nothing was like excellent, but technically just very good, I'd say.
Prolific has to be in there. The word prolific has to be in there.
Yeah. The Spanish media was often compared Villa with Raul, to the point where Villa was accused of taking the number 7 jersey away from then Real Madrid player. I've not taken anything away from anybody. I was simply playing well for my club and the national coach gave me an opportunity. Interesting. That's not much. Oh, that was about succeeding Raul as number 7 rather than playing stars. Opportunistic, versatile and well-rounded player, Villa is naturally right-footed, accurate finisher with either foot. Despite his lack of height or physicality, he's also a set-piece and penalty kick specialist. Quick, agile. I'm looking for prolific here, Dave.
It's literally the second word, Josh. A prolific goal scorer.
Oh, yeah, it is. Yeah, I skimmed over that bit.
Due to his vision and passing ability, he was also capable of dropping deep to link up play with midfielders and of creating chances and providing assists for teammates. It comes to a point where it's too arse-kissy, isn't it?
The personal life section, or the playing style section.
The playing style section,
Hate it. It's just so many adjectives.
Yeah.
You almost want one person's opinion here rather than just an amalgamation of every attribute. It's like, oh my goodness, what was he bad at then? You know, so look at business ventures. So he's obviously got that stuff he's going on with his technical. The DV7, so David Villa, number 7. Who was the first player to do the initials number? R9? Was that a thing?
I don't think that was
a
brand. I think that was just what he was called, R9. I don't think it was a brand. CR7 is the first one.
Is that one you remember? He is very corporate in terms of a footballer, isn't he? He's like he's been made in a factory, CR7.
Yeah. I think the first one I remember is CR7. DB7? Yeah. Was that first? David Beckham?
No, I literally didn't know who you were on about when you said DB7. I was like, Darren Bent. He was number 7. Didn't know it. If it was, failed with me.
Yeah, okay.
Enticed.
It might not have been called DB7, but he definitely had a Beckham brand.
Oh, yeah, but nah, not the... I want the initials number. I want that to be a page. Initials number branding. I imagine it came in American sport first.
Yeah, probably. Landon Donovan or something probably did it first.
I'm not even thinking of football. I'm thinking someone, a basketball player, MJ23 or something.
Yeah, true. Probably. Yeah. Anyway, DV7.
DV7 did some stuff. He manages football academies around the world. DV7 soccer. Okay. Where do we go from here, Dave? We have a Barcelona player. We know they played in the cup finals. We have a Spanish player. Spain, maybe? Played in the 54 World Cup? Don't know.
Well,
we could have gone to Samoa and Benfica, actually, couldn't we? Actually, we've used a few Portuguese sides, I know that.
We have. I mean, he won a lot of awards in the MLS.
Cool. We're going to Switzerland, Dave.
Yeah, I know. He also won the 2009 FIFA Confederations Cup Bronze Shoe.
Who hasn't?
Who hasn't won that? I don't know. I don't know where to go. I mean, Patrick Kluivert's mentioned, which takes us slightly back in time.
Is in Spain's 2010 World Cup, their first World Cup match, Villa was chosen as lone striker, but could do nothing to prevent their shock defeat at the hands of Switzerland. Doesn't really help, but it's in the right country.
Gets us in the ballpark, doesn't it? You can pick.
Let's go to Switzerland.
We're going to Switzerland?
Let's go to Switzerland. I don't want to go to a club.
Okay.
The Switzerland national football team. Nicknames, oh, God. A-team. Oh. And quite weirdly, so there's also Natty, national team, and also Rosso Crociati, which is red crosses. Their flag's a white cross. Don't break it to them. It's a white cross.
I was just thinking that. Odd. Five players, past or present.
Okay. Sendros Njuru.
Granit Xhaka.
Yep. Jan Sommer in goal.
Yeah.
The Dagan brothers, Philip Dagan and someone else Dagan.
Oh, yeah, I think they did. Yeah.
Yeah.
Big tall striker, Frey, Alexandra Frey.
Reto Ziegler, left wing back.
Nice.
Yeah.
Did you say Johan Juru?
Yeah, Juru and Sendros, Arsenal centre back partnership. Yeah. Who do you reckon? Oh, Chapuisat is going to be there. He was always a good player for them. I reckon he's going to be up there in the rankings of the top goal scorers. Any of those players' names reckon to be in most caps or most goals?
Xhaka's got to be...
Appearances.
He's been ever-present since he's burst on the scene, right? At Borussia Mönchengladbach, I want to say.
And Shaqiri.
Yeah.
Okay, so top goal scorers. Dave, you got it. Alexander Frey, top goal scorer, 42 goals and 84 appearances. We named... Oh, Shaqiri's up there. And that is it, all we named. Most cap players, Heinz Hermann leads away. Granit Xhaka is fifth. Jurgen Shaqiri is fourth. Chapuisat is sixth. Oh, Ricardo Rodriguez. Yes, is he at AC Milan?
Oh, yeah, left
Wolfsburg.
Back.
Yeah, left back. Johan Vogel, centre mid. I remember him. Gökhan Inler. I want to say Napoli time, was it?
Leicester.
Was he?
Yeah, he had a little stint at Leicester.
Then there was Yakin brothers for sure. Murat and Hakan Yakin. Might not be brothers, mate. I think they played for Young Boys.
I think they did. And Hakan Yakin, I used to sign all the time on Champ Manager.
Okay. Right, well, just so we've got lots of ways here, because I'm looking just below that is the World Cup record, and 54 World Cup is obviously highlighted because they hosted it, which is good.
I'm gonna shock you here, Josh.
Cool.
92-96, the Roy Hodgson era.
Of course it is.
Forgot about that.
Boy. Yeah.
Forgot
That's
about
actually
that.
A little section, is it?
Yeah. In 92, Switzerland appointed an English manager, Roy Hodgson, as head coach of the national team. At the time of the appointment, the Swiss had not qualified for any major tournament since 1966. Under his guidance, Switzerland rose to third in the FIFA World Rankings in 1993. Still remains their highest ranking to this day. He led them to the 94 World Cup, losing just one game during qualifying, and that was including a group with Italy, and Portugal and Scotland.
Boy, really does know how to set up a side, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He was an excellent manager. Underappreciated. Really tainted in England from that stint at Liverpool, I think.
Agreed.
And England. Fulham, great. Crystal Palace, pretty damn good.
Yeah.
West Brom?
Good.
Good?
Yeah.
Don't remember him doing anything else in England in my era. Because he was about managing in Switzerland and Inter Milan, we didn't realise at the time.
I was just thinking, he was Inter Milan, yeah.
Inter Milan, wasn't it? Yeah.
There we go. They also had Ottmar Hitzfeld as a manager, 2010 FIFA World Cup.
Amazing, he doesn't have a managerial section to find out the others. Okay. Didn't they just recently, we haven't played them. Oh, we played them in a friendly, England played them friendly at the beginning of this year, but we won 2-1. don't remember that at all.
And you said Hakan Yakin was one of the most capped players ever.
Hakan Yakin?
Yeah.
Hakan Yakin. Oh, is it? And hold on. Look at my coaching staff.
I know. The brothers. Well, potentially.
Maybe brothers. All right, Dave. Which one are we going to go for? Murat or Hakan?
I remember Hakan. I don't remember Murat.
What does that mean? Do you want to learn about Murat or you want to go to Hakan for some comfort?
I think we go Hakan because he's in the list of... He's number 10 in all-time caps for Switzerland.
Did he play for Young Boys of Bern, though?
Did he? I don't know.
Got to be some mention of it. They're a big Swiss side. He must have played in Switzerland. I remember him as a left-footed forward.
I'm saying attacking midfielder, I think left-footed.
Yeah, sorry, yeah. He's playing number 10. He's the.
Yeah.
Do you not feel that's such a... like? Do you know, if I ever create a player on, you know, I play your own... I don't know why I call it, I don't really play football games anymore, but play your own player and get him good.
play your own player. I'm glad you're not involved in marketing. Like, become a legend.
Yeah.
Be a pro. Yeah.
I always choose a left-footed attacking midfielder.
Really?
Or second striker. I mean, it's kind of linked to Onesimo Sanchez in that regard. But yeah, what kind of position do you normally put yourself as?
I'd normally go...
centre back.
No, how boring would that be? I'd normally go like...
Does anyone do that?
Wing forward.
Okay.
Like opposite footed wing forward, your classic inside forward, yeah.
You're kind of Cristiano Ronaldo, is that what you're trying to be?
Well, the last one I did was on PES 2020 or 2019, and I created Bojan Djordjic.
Did you?
Yeah, who's a left-footed right-winger. So,
nice. Yeah. Right, let's go to Hakan Yakin, see if he's got a brother, and see if he has anything linked to Young Boys of Bern. Hakan Yakin, now 45, second striker, attacking midfielder, yes please. Former Swiss football coach, former player, he's manager of Schaffenhausen. He is the manager of Schaffenhausen. Who's got a dual role?
He's manager of a club and assistant manager of the nation.
Oh, wow. But that's not mentioned in his teams managed.
No,
loads of work around Schaffenhausen and Gallen and Zug 94 and Grasshoppers, but not mentioned there. Great.
Take you have to get that as an action.
Yeah, got it, Dave. Got it. Talk me through his career, Dave.
So he started at Concordia Basel as a youth player and then made it to their first team. The appearances and goals are blank, so we don't know. But then 95, moved to Basel. Then played. He's hit all the big ones in Switzerland. Basel, Grasshoppers, St. Gallen, Grasshoppers, Basel. PSG in 2003.
No appearances, though.
Yeah, no appearances.
Really bleak time that was, wasn't it? Look at that. The appearances dried up amazingly from 2003 to 2005.
Yeah.
Nothing.
He went back to Basel and scored 3 and 6. Then moved to Stuttgart, 9 appearances, none. Then loaned to Galatasaray, 2 appearances, 0 goals. Young Boys Bern, 05 to 08, 84 appearances, 40 goals. He then moved to Al Garaf, 15 appearances, 5 goals. Luzern, 79 appearances, 26 goals. And finished his career at Bellinzona, 32 appearances, 13 goals. Literally loved Switzerland.
Yeah, and Switzerland loved him, and he tried. He went, you know, I'm going to PSG, and so let's see what it says about that. And Germany and Turkey, and it just didn't work. It worked a little bit out in, Qatar? But that was for money, really, wasn't it?
Yeah. His career was overshadowed by some trouble regarding his club transfers, as his engagements outside Switzerland, Paris Saint-Germain, Stuttgart, and Galatasaray, were not accompanied by luck. In 2005-2006, Yakin returned to Switzerland, joining BSC Young Boys. In July 2008, Yakin signed a contract with the Qatar champions Al Garaf. So in his little club career summary bit, there's no mention of why it didn't work.
It does mention his brother. He was hired as an assistant coach to his brother Murat of FC Schaffenhausen in 2019. After Murat was hired as the manager of Swiss national football team, Hakan served as caretaker manager of Schaffenhausen for 3 games. He returned to being assistant coach for the remainder of the season. Together they coached Schaffenhausen. He was confirmed. Yeah, so it's not mentioned anywhere about him being assistant manager. But maybe it's just he's always where his brother is.
Yeah. Also, it says on his thing, he's managed, in 2022, he's currently managing Schaffenhausen. But in his coaching career, it says on the 4th of June 2022, he was confirmed as the new head coach as Andromat's contract was not renewed. This appointment is contingent on Yakin receiving his UEFA Pro license. How do we know if he's got it or not?
We don't. We'll speak to him.
Yeah. But as an action, I'll take that. I'll take that.
Yeah. You can speak to Hakan.
Yeah, I'll try and contact Hakan and see what's going on. Good. I'm glad we got that right. We remember him in the right positions. He played for Young Boys Bern, so we know we've got that link. Anything big going on in his career?
Decent Euro 2008, it seems. A couple of three goals. Nice. Euro 2008, finished top scorer, was it say? It says finished with tournament joint second highest goal scorer with Podolski, Pavlyuchenko and Sentürk with three goals. Behind David Villa's four goals. Oh, this is lovely. Okay, so from here we go to Young Boys.
Well, hang on. What was the stadium called?
Wankdorf, you know that.
Oh yeah, Wankdorf. How could I forget? Oh no, I was going to see if any international games had been hosted at the new Wankdorf Stadium, and then it might have linked us in that way.
Stade de Suisse, that's called now. But no, it seems like they seem to play a lot at St. Jakob Park.
Yeah, which is FC Basel's ground.
And Espenmoos at St. Gallen. Okay. Doesn't mention his left foot anywhere, which is just a little bit annoying for me. I'd like to say he's left-footed.
I'd like to see a playing style.
Yeah, I reckon he deserves one. I reckon he's 87 appearances, 20 goals for Switzerland.
Yeah. Do you reckon we could put one together?
No. Based on what?
Well, just we'll watch some clips.
We think
YouTube.
He was left-footed.
As long as you can refer, as long as you need a reference, right? Just do a
I'm
bit
not
of
sure.
Googling.
Are you not sure? It needs to be from some like an ex-pro saying it, get published on something. So yeah, if we can find it.
That'll be around.
Whoa, you're adding some actions here, David.
We both agree that we feel like he's someone that should have a playing style. We've never tried it. Let's try it.
Okay.
I feel like you're better with words than me as this podcast, generally.
Who's got this action?
Wait, I'll do the research and try and find the articles which describe how he plays, or a pro has said something, or goals being described.
You get me some articles and I'll get you a playing style written up. No bother.
Awesome. First action ever halved, I feel. This one. Right, Young Boys Bern?
Action halved, action sold. Right, Young Boys. I remember Spurs playing at some in our Champions League qualifying match after Harry Redknapp took us there. We lost the first leg because they played on an artificial pitch and it causes all sorts of problems. I think Sebastian Besson got a bit of bother. But then Peter Crouch scored a hat-trick in the home leg and we won like 5-2 or something.
Nice. I remember drawing with Young Boys Bern in a Champions League group stage game, which I think knocked Man United out.
Yes, I think I've got some knowledge of that. So do we know any more players than what we've already named?
No. I'm going to go with no. I'm going to go with we could probably fluke two.
Just by sheer number of Swiss players that we name?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But no one really springs to mind to think, oh, that makes me think of Young Boys.
No, I'm going to go straight to the current squad, Dave, and you have a little look elsewhere. So I'm trying to look for anybody I know. We've got mainly Swiss players, obviously. We've got Dr. Congo forward, Meshack Elia.
Okay. The first line of history is a winner, I feel. The club was founded in 1898 and its name was intended to mimic that of Basel-based club Old Boys. That's it. That's how they became Young Boys.
Yeah, didn't really think it through.
No. That stuck, didn't it? Not stuck. So
similar to when we were younger, there was we were six side matches at school. There was Fat Turkeys, and therefore there was a side that came Slim Chickens.
Yeah, and I used to play for the Fat Turkeys, and then signed for the Slim Chickens.
Yeah.
So played for both of them. I ticked off the old and the young boys.
I think you might be the only person to do that, Dave.
I think I was.
Did you get a pig's head thrown at you?
No. I didn't take corners though. That was Owen's job. Remember, he scored from one.
Yeah, scored from a corner. So
There is a whole thing around here about the new name and the new stadium. So they went from FC Young Boys to Bern Sport Club Young Boys. You thought that's when they may have changed, just dropped the Young Boys bit.
No.
But they had a whole new sports complex created with the grandstand with 1,200 covered seats. This was in 1925, so this
There's
is talking
more
about...
information about this stadium and the stadium page. It had a restaurant, changing rooms, a training hall, and training ground. Come on, better than the page.
Yeah. There's a bit around the golden years under Coach Albert Singh, who was a previously unknown manager. No one anticipated any success under his appointment. Good experience under the German coach. He initially was a player coach, which is always going to be good. But then he became the trainer only. And they experienced their most successful period ever under his tutelage, which is good for them. They've played some relatively big teams. Liverpool. Hang on. Young Boys was invited to tour North America. The team played against some American teams. Word for word, I'm reading this. Some American teams. Liverpool 1-1. And the Republic of Ireland national team. And they won 4-1.
Okay.
So, yeah. Young Boy produced impressive results overseas for Swiss football and were enthusiastically received by thousands upon its return to Bern. They were Swiss champions four times in a row between 57 and 60, and they became one of the more successful teams in European football and were superior to all Swiss opponents.
I love the next section. Descent to a normal club. After Albert Singh left the Young Boys, the success had large shoes to fill. Average performances was no longer acceptable to the discriminating Bernese supporters. Oh, my. What country's page or club's page were we on before? I think it was Luxembourg or something, wasn't it? And it was written really, really well.
It's like a book, yeah.
Yeah. This is giving you similar vibes.
It is. It's very literate. Is that a word?
Yeah. Merkel had the misfortune to be measured up against the championship of his predecessors. It's like, oh, that's quite nicely.
1984 to 1991, again. The first sentence, which is six words long. Turbulent times continued in the Wankdorf. 1991 to 2001, down and up. So they played Celtic in the UEFA Cup. They were relegated to National League B in the 1946-47 season. For the first time since 1946-47 season in 1997, they developed financial difficulties and were relegated to National League B, today called the Challenge League in Switzerland.
It was actually very recently, in 2000, 2001, was it? They were in the Champions League group stage with Atlanta, Villarreal and Man United. Their first game shocked Man United, beating them 2-1 thanks to a goal from Jordan Pefok in the 95th minute.
Oh, in 2000, here you go, Josh, someone you mentioned earlier on in the podcast. In 2002, Young Boys finished the qualifying round in 7th and the final round in 4th place, ending the Young Boys an entry into an international competition, the UEFA Cup, for the first time in 10 years. This season also saw Stefan Csapusat move to the club. Csapusat is considered one of the best strikers in Swiss history. Yeah, it's a really well-written page, isn't it?
Yeah, so the name arises from the fact that Wankdorf ought to act as a national stadium, with Stade de Suisse, and as one of the stadiums with artificial turf. However, national team matches are rarely held here. The artificial pitch allows Young Boys to hold daily training sessions in the same place as Young Boys doesn't have a training centre. For the year 2008, a natural grass field was laid as three group matches took place. The stadium is also the largest stadium integrated solar power plant in the world.
Wow.
The electricity powers the stadium and some houses around the Wankdorf area.
Nice. Giving their bit back to the environment. Managers, there's a few rogue Englishmen in there. Reynold Williams, Jimmy Hogan, Eric Jones. Some interesting names, though. Tord Grip, remember him?
Yes, assistant to Sven.
Yeah, assistant to Sven. Christian Gross was there at one point. David Wagner, is that ex-Huddersfield?
Yeah, so we just mentioned. He was a manager when they beat United.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, true. Mm. Yeah. Should we click through? The Wankdorf Stadium. Done. We're there. Done it. The Wankdorf Stadium, we've clicked through to it, and I find it really odd that in top right hand bit of the page where you show off the stadium in all its glory, there's a picture of it being demolished in 2001.
Yeah, the second picture, I was like, oh, that's a different picture. No, still being demolished because there is still a JCB on the middle of the pitch. Just to really hammer it home, this stadium does not exist anymore. It's quite sad to see a stadium demolished, I think.
Yeah, I think it would be quite sad to see a stadium demolished. I think it would be. I was just looking at, because both of those photos have a JCB digger right in the middle. Do you go, right, so they can't change their decision, we're going to dig up the centre spot so no one can ever kick off again.
Yeah, we don't want people messing around on this pitch while we're demolishing it. Get the pitch dug up ASAP.
Yeah.
So a stadium, so Man United, move to a new stadium. Old Trafford's gone.
Yeah.
What do you want from a stadium? Do you want some grass? Do you want a seat? Do you want a turnstile? What do you want, Dave? Are you urinal?
I mean, it'd be useful.
Do you know what? I don't think there's enough urinals in homes.
Do you want one in your house?
I would definitely take one. I have a house with me and my wife and two boys. I think we could definitely get use of a urinal.
Yeah, that's true. What would I take? What would I want? What would I take? I'm just having it. I would like to think that grass is quite the romantic bit, a bit of the pitch, but then you've got to look after it, right? I thought it would just die. Yeah.
Do you know what?
I'd tell you what I'd want. What I really, really want.
Yeah?
The seat that I was sat in when I watched the Manchester derby with my mum at Old Trafford and Michael Owen scored that last minute winner, because it's the only game I ever watched with my mum. It was the one-off game. I think I've mentioned this before on the podcast, but it was the one-off game where we shared a season ticket and the person sitting next to us was on holiday for the Manchester derby, so I offered it to my mum and we could go together. So I'd want that seat.
Nice.
Yeah.
I would have some kind of signage from around there, the gate or the...
Yeah.
Something like that, and just to put on the wall, because I don't want something really intrusive. Would you sit on that seat? Do you reckon that I would... behind you in the corner there, would it get sat on? I'd like to have some kind of use.
Yeah, like we'd have people around for dinner. Mm. Kate would get them in.
We didn't mention the goalpost. If you wanted that,
I can't store them in Singapore, mate. It's too, they're too big. But I'd have to bring the chair out.
You could have a bit of net, maybe.
A bit of net.
Cut a bit of net. A corner flag.
Maybe a corner flag.
Yeah.
I can imagine you having like the cockerel of. Like the cockerel off the side of Old White Hart Lane, and then just putting it up on the wall right behind you. It could go right behind you, right there.
Could do, couldn't it? Yeah.
So
the new cockerel is bloody huge now.
Is it?
On top of the stadium.
Oh,
like,
yeah, of course.
Colossal.
Yeah. Have you done it, or would you like to do the walk around the top of the...
Not really fast, actually. No. I wouldn't mind, I suppose. So I've got a ticket to go for the tour. I haven't done it yet, actually. I need to do that. Thank you for reminding me, Dave.
Yeah, get that booked up. I'll be interested to know what it's like. So, right, well, we're done.
We're done. We started at the Vicente Calderon Stadium, previous home to Atletico Madrid, and we thought we'd find out more about who's named after. Turns out Wikipedia doesn't really know much because it's two sentences. Vicente Calderon was a former president. But we could click on Atletico Madrid. So he did. And one of their players played for a few years there, but we were intrigued. We thought he knew his career, but did we? David Villa. Turns out we did know his career. We should have backed ourselves. But he played for Spain against Switzerland in Spain's first World Cup match in 2010. So... being the stadium we're getting to is in Switzerland, we thought that was a good place to start. So we click on the Swiss national team. And we are both mentioned Hakan Yakin, now assistant coach and one of the leading kind of appearance and goal scorers. We'll find out more about him. Surely he's played for Young Boys of Bern. Turns out he has, as amongst every other Swiss club, it seems, tried his hand in Europe elsewhere, but failed, unfortunately. But we'll go to Young Boys, and clearly they're going to mention their former stadium, the Wankdorf Stadium. We click through to Wankdorf from Vicente Calderon with six clicks in between.
I'm happy. I think that's a good little journey. We've learned a bit about Hakan Yakin. We've backed up our knowledge on David Villa. So all good. And it brings an end to this week's podcast. So thank you so much for listening. Send in your suggestions of Wikipedia pages. Is this going to be a quintuple? No, that's the wrong word. Quadruple of defunct. Are we keeping it going?
Early retirees.
Oh, okay. Early retiree of players. I've already got mine in my head. You can find us on Twitter at WikiWanderers or on Instagram at WikipediaWanderers. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next week. Goodbye.